The Shopping Drops.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The retail sector is kind of a downer this morning. A lot of the big chains reported their December sales figures, and as expected, companies like Sears and Limited didn't do well. But the big surprise was Walmart's disappointing numbers. The discount retailer doesn't look quite as recession-proof as it did, and its shares are down 8%. Macy's had better-than-expected numbers, but the company also said it's closing 11 stores, which will affect about 1,000 employees. Walgreens says it's cutting 1,000 management jobs, about 9% of its workforce. All of this is being reflected in the stock markets. So far, the Dow is down 74 points, almost a percent, to 86.94. The NASDAQ has fallen 8 points, and the S&P 500 is down 5. Even bigger declines in Asia today, about 4% in Tokyo and Hong Kong. European shares are down about a percent so far. Today, the Bank of England cut interest rates to 1.5%. That's a big deal, as our man in London, Stephen Beard, explains.
Interest rates haven't been this low here in more than 300 years, since King William III founded the Bank of England in 1694. Today's historic cut underlines the bank's deep concern. Britain is sliding rapidly into recession. The main problem is the lack of credit. Vicky Redwood is with Capital Economics. She says that all the government's multi-billion dollar bailouts and cash injections seem to be having no effect.
I think that's primarily because the banks remain reluctant to lend to us when the economy's in a recession and they might make losses out of that lending. And that means that we'll have to take further action, and the Bank of England and the Treasury will have to start thinking about what to do if interest rates get to zero.
In the US, where short-term rates are already close to zero, the Fed has just started buying mortgage-backed securities in a bid to boost the flagging economy. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You know how people rush to the store to buy bread and milk before a snowstorm? Well, Washington, D.C. might run out of bread and milk for the Obama inauguration. There will be so many visitors coming to town, leaving the house could be a royal pain. So some people in D.C. have decided to just leave. Here's John Dimsdale.
For Tucker Bounds, the third week of January is no time to stay home in Washington.
I'll be able to avoid crowds, throngs of people flowing through the streets and difficult places to park.
Bounds was a campaign spokesman for presidential candidate John McCain. He's planning to take a break from his job search and spend some quality time in South Florida.
It's a good time, as good a time as any for Republicans to take advantage of some vacation.
To attract business from folks looking to avoid a city that promises to be, shall we say, overtaxed, ski slopes in the region are offering special inaugural escape packages. And seven resorts on Florida's Amelia Island are cutting rates from 20% to 45% for D.C. area residents looking for a vacation from inauguration.
There has been a ton of interest. Our hits on our website, it's way more than doubled.
Shannon Tidball is co-owner of the Addison B&B on Amelia Island. A former D.C. resident, she attended George W. Bush's first inaugural on the National Mall.
It's really hard to see. It's much easier to watch on TV.
Especially with a sunny beach right outside. And Tidball says there's one other attraction for those thinking of getting out of D.C.
This particular county is very Republican.
In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The famous billionaire investor Warren Buffett has made a donation for cancer research. He handed over a pair of signed cowboy boots. Organizers of the Cattlemen's Ball of Nebraska say they'll auction off the boots this spring. Besides his signature, Buffett wrote, "I love beef." You're listening to The Morning Report for Thursday, January 8th on Marketplace.org. This morning, the next president will unveil more details about his economic stimulus package. He's giving a speech at George Mason University. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Barack Obama's speech will add more urgency to his top goal, a giant economic stimulus package he wants implemented by mid-February. He says the recession could linger for years unless Congress acts quickly. The president-elect says the plan will cost around $800 billion.
It will be on the high end of our estimates, but will not be as high as some economists have recommended because of the constraints and concerns we have about the existing deficit.
Those comments came just before a report yesterday that said the federal deficit for this year could hit a new record of $1.2 trillion. The stimulus plan includes tax relief to spur investment and help for cash-depleted states. It also aims to save or create 3 million jobs. The new administration promises to take unprecedented actions to rein in spending. That includes a new approach to entitlement programs like Social Security that eat up so much of the nation's budget. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
While Obama is speaking, the Senate Finance Committee will meet behind closed doors. Its leaders are trying to gauge support for Mr. Obama's stimulus plans. Danielle Carson has more from Washington.
This will be the first of hundreds of meetings and hearings to piece together a stimulus plan. But the Senate meeting is a critical test of support. Brookings Institution analyst William Galston says many fiscal conservatives are bracing for sticker shock.
They will ponder the fact that every penny of it will have to be borrowed. They will blanch when they consider predictions that we'll have a $1 trillion deficit. So some of them may simply say no.
Another sticking point will be how much money states get. Some senators argue that replenishing state coffers with federal dollars doesn't create new jobs, but Galston argues it still stimulates the economy.
It helps the economy by diminishing the drag on economic growth if states are forced to cut huge sums from their budget.
Galston expects the scope of aid to be debated, but not whether the states get money. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
In the past week, two East Coast grocery chains, Giant and Stop and Shop, announced offers for free generic prescriptions. The chain Publix has been handing out antibiotics for more than a year, but health experts are raising concerns about this practice. Here's Sarah Gardner with more.
Giant said it started handing out free antibiotics after customers told them they were struggling to make ends meet. But retail analysts say these stores also want to attract more business in a tough market. Supermarket consultant Bill Bishop.
Walmart and others were doing the $4 generic offer. I think this is just raising the ante.
But health experts sound a warning. Patients often think antibiotics will cure anything. Infectious disease expert Sarah Cosgrove at Johns Hopkins says free antibiotics makes them even more attractive to the patient.
Doctors, much like parents, often have trouble saying no to a request for antibiotics.
Experts worry about rising resistance to antibiotics. Cosgrove says there is no evidence that these free drugs have resulted in increased prescriptions, but the Infectious Diseases Society of America urges stores to hand out a little antibiotic education along with that free penicillin. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Here's an unsettling question that many people are asking. Does this recession mean there's no more retirement? Will people have to keep working into their 70s and even 80s because they can't save enough money? Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell believes the answer is yes. Chris, how do you see this coming about?
Oh, I think this is going to be a big change, a change that will take time to unfold and actually become part of our everyday toolkit and expectations. But think about it this way, Scott. Whenever we talk about retirement planning, we talk about, well, you know, how much are you going to have in stocks and, oh, how much are you going to have in bonds and what's your asset allocation and how much of your salary are you saving every year? Well, you know what? Those things matter. But what we're really going to be talking about is what skills do you have? Where's the job growth in the future? But what I think the recession has done, it's brought the discussion to an end because there's no way you're going to be able to save enough to maintain your standard of living and not work in your golden years.
Chris, you're destroying my motorhome fantasy.
What? I can just see you. Cap on your head, you know, driving down the road. Yeah. Okay, now, I don't want to completely destroy your dream, Scott. I really don't. Now, what you might be doing is only working part-time. You might be only working part of the year. You're going to be working part-time. You're going to be working flex time. You might be working from home. You might work a couple of months of the year. But work is going to be part of your retirement savings plan. You can still have your motorhome, Scott. You really can still have your motorhome. But as part of your savings, rather than this being a message of despair, by the way, this is a measure of you're going to continue to earn an income. You're going to make some money. And so you're going to be able to afford to gas up that motorhome of yours. And because otherwise, I don't know, Scott, yeah, I'm not so sure you're going to be able to.
Well, Chris, I can buy this whole scenario of working longer and maybe part-time and flex and all that. But what about health insurance, which is so critical at that time in people's lives?
It's very critical. And right now, that's the big barrier to what I'm discussing. And there's where healthcare reform becomes absolutely critical. I think the pressure for healthcare reform will grow. And this is just one more factor that is putting pressure on government to say the status quo when it comes to health insurance is no longer acceptable.
All right. Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Thank you.
Thank you.
Share your opinions with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.